This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Well, as you know, the series of messages we're in is fulfilling God's purpose in the church. And we're finding out how it is that we as the church are to fulfill God's purpose for putting the church here on earth. The thing that we've discovered so far is that the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important institution on the face of the earth. Why? Because it is the body of Christ. It is His means of working in the world today. Anything that God wants to do in the world today, His plan is to do it through His church. And so the church should be the institution that has the most impact of any institution on the face of the earth. Who does the church belong to? We talked about that. Number one, it belongs to Jesus. Amen? Jesus said what? I will build my church. But who else does the church belong to? It is Christ by ownership. It is my church. It is my church by assignment. I have been assigned here by God as an under shepherd. So it is my church by assignment. But there's somebody else whose church this is. Guess what? Yeah, it's all of our church by commitment. Amen. We have made the voluntary commitment to be part of this church, and therefore it is our church, and that's what we've been talking about. The thing that I wanted you to remember that we've been talking about through this series is this statement. When I become a member of the church, I step into God's plan to work out His purposes for my life in cooperation with other imperfect people through whom He has chosen to do His work in the world. Imperfect people, but He has chosen to do His work through us in the world. Well, today, what we want to deal with is the fact that as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to support the program of the church. The program of the church. What the church actually does in the world to fulfill the purpose and the mission that Christ has given it, we need to support the program of the church. And I wonder if anybody knows what the program of our church is. Worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, service. I knew we had some smart people here. Praise God. Those of you who've been through spiritual foundations class, you know that, right? Worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, service. That's the program of our church. Those are the activities that we engage in as the New Testament church, the Church of Jesus Christ, in order to fulfill the mission that God has given to us. And as we say so often, everything the church does should be related in some way to worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, or service. And if it is not, we shouldn't be doing it. If you look around and you see a bunch of stuff going on that has nothing to do with worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, or service, then you have an obligation and a duty to ask some questions. Why are we doing that? We're getting ready to do Vacation Bible School. How many of you, when you were small, you went to Vacation Bible School? All right, most of you, praise God. Now catch this. We are not doing Vacation Bible School because it's traditional. I'm not doing Vacation Bible School at Covenant Community Church because we did Vacation Bible School in the church when I was growing up. That's not why we do it. You know why we're doing Vacation Bible School? It focuses on two areas out of that five particularly. All of them will be hit. But two out of the five. Anybody have an idea what two might be? Evangelism and discipleship. We want to reach kids for Christ. Amen. And then we want to bring them into the community, the family of the church, so that they can be discipled. That's the purpose of it. We don't do vacation Bible school just because churches do vacation Bible school. It's because there's a ministry purpose. And so it is with everything else that we do in this congregation. Now today, we're going to talk about one of the five. And you know, all five of those in WEDIS, worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, service, all five of them are crucial and critical. The church cannot afford to leave any of them undone. But let me tell you, there's one that's first. There's one that's the starting point. There's one without which none of the rest of them make any difference at all. And that's the reason that in that list, I always put it first. Guess what it is? Worship. Worship. If the church is not worshiping, the church has lost its reason for being. Worship is first on the list. Now, why? If all of them are important, if all of them are crucial, why is worship the first on the list? Let me tell you the real reason, then I'll give you some more. The number one reason, the bottom line reason is simply this: God is worthy to receive our worship. Amen? Amen. He is worthy. That's the bottom line. I mean, if I don't say anything else, that's the starting point right there. God is simply worthy. But in terms of the mission of the church, there's some important reasons why worship needs to be first on the list. Number one, because worship changes our focus. It puts the focus on God. When you truly get focused on God, when you begin to see Him as He is, you can't help but worship Him. Amen? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Look at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Isaiah got a vision of God, saw Him. And when he saw God, how did he see Him? High and lifted up. If you could see with the eyes of your spirit right now and look into heaven and see God, you would see Him surrounded by praise and by worship because He is worthy to receive it. Amen? If you ever see God, all you can do is worship Him. And catch this. If you're not worshiping, that means you've lost sight of God. If you are not worshiping, if you are not a worshiper, you've lost sight of God. Because if you see Him, you can't help but worship Him. Well, if the church is supposed to worship God, if that's the first part of the program, before anything else, who is the church? We are the church, amen? So if the church is going to worship God, what does that mean? We got to worship God. Psalm 34, starting with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Now, in those three little verses, there's a lot about what it means to be a worshiper. Let's begin to break it down. Here's the first question. What is worship? You know what that English word worship means, where it comes from? It comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word for worth-ship, worth-ship. It means to attribute worth to somebody. When you worship somebody, what you're saying is, this person is very, very valuable. There are people in our society today who worship money. What does that mean? The most valuable thing in their lives is what? Money. Amen? So it's attributing worth. It's saying this is valuable. This is the most valuable thing. And that's why we praise God. Praising Him You know what worship really is? It's telling God how wonderful he is. Praising God is simply telling him how wonderful he is. Go over to Psalm 66. Look at verses 1 through 4. Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4. Praise, just telling God how wonderful he is. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Is God's name honorable? Amen. Worthy of all honor. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. When we worship God, who should we be talking to? To God himself, praise God. Telling him, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. You see, it's telling God how awesome he is. Our God is an awesome God. Amen? And we sing that to one another, but you know what worship is? When we tell it to God, God, you are awesome. Hallelujah. You are awesome. That's worshiping him. And so back in Psalm 34, it says, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Verse 2 of Psalm 34, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. When you boast, what are you doing? Bragging. Isn't that right? Bragging. Anybody here ever brag on yourself? Come on, let me see. Brag on yourself. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Me too. Amen. Guess what? We don't need to be bragging on ourselves anymore, because we got the greater one to brag on. Amen? We can brag on God. Hallelujah. We can brag on him. Hasn't he done marvelous things? Hasn't he been great in your life? Hasn't he been wonderful to you? Brag on him some. Hallelujah. Brag on him some. I mean, that's the one time you can brag and nobody will object. Amen? At least not believers. Nobody will object. You just brag some on God. Not only tell him how great he is, but what? Tell everybody you can how wonderful he is. Brag on him some. Verse 2 again, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Magnify him. Have you ever been in a situation where you messed up just a little bit and somebody looked at your mess up and it was like they took out a magnifying glass and blew it all up out of proportion? Ever had that happen to you? Amen? Well, this is talking about doing the opposite thing. God already does magnificent things. Amen? But what it's saying is, whatever God does, take out your magnifying glass and build it up as big as you possibly can, because he is worthy. Amen? Amen. Has God ever healed anybody here? Anybody here? You feel like God has healed you? Praise God. Well, what ought you to be doing about that? Magnify it. Magnify it. Build it up. Let everybody know what God has been in your life. Has God ever provided for you when you couldn't provide for yourself? Anybody here? Amen. What do you need to do? Magnify it. You need to talk about it. You need to let everybody know, oh, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. I mean, don't keep it to yourself. Don't minimize it. If you remember when you were little and you had a microscope, anybody had a microscope when you were a child? If you look through one side of the microscope, it magnifies. Amen. Microscope or a telescope or binoculars, if you turn it around and look at the other side, what happens? It makes it tiny. And you know what Christians do, too many Christians? We got the binoculars turned around the wrong way. We look at what God has done in our lives and we so much take it for granted that we don't magnify what? We minimize it. Just take it for granted. Don't talk about it to anybody, not even God. I mean, God has clothed you. God has fed you. God has kept you healthy, given you the strength to be out here this morning. And some of us, we just take it so much for granted, we don't even stop to give God thanks. Amen? Instead, what do we need to do? Turn the binoculars around. turn the microscope around and look at that thing that a minute ago seemed so small and realize how big it is. If God was not providing for you, where would you be? You think you got a good job. How many of you understand that that job can go just like that? You can walk in tomorrow and find out they already have your desk out in the hallway. Amen? No. You're not providing for yourself. God is providing for you. And so we need to look at that thing under the microscope and see it for what it is. God is at work, and it is marvelous. Magnify him. Exalt him. Lift his name up. The name of God is not like any other name. You know why the Ten Commandments tell us that we are not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain? It's because his name is not to be made common like any other name on earth. What does the devil try to do? He tries to get people using the name of God in the lowest possible way. Use it as a curse word. Use it when you don't have anything else to say. Why? Make it common. And God says, my name is not common. It's not just to be used in everyday conversation. It's not to be used to make a point. When you speak the name of God, you are speaking of the King of the universe, and his name needs to be exalted. Amen? Exalt his name. Speak of his name with reverence. Lift his name up. Give him the glory that's due to his name. You see what worship is all about? It's just talking to God about how great he is and letting everybody else know too. Worship involves focusing on the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92, 1. Look at this. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That's what it means to give praise, honor, and worship to our God, to declare his loving kindness and sing praises to his name. Well, now that we understand what worship is, let's talk about what I need to be doing about it, how I need to become a worshiper. Go back to Psalm 34 and look at verses 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Anybody pick it up? Praise or worship is personal. In other words, and here's the key issue, number one, I need to worship God individually. Before I can come to the church and be a worshiper, I need to be a worshiper individually. I need to be one who sets myself to worship God. And you know why that's so important? Any of you remember those posters they started in World War I, and they also used them in World War II? It's a picture of Uncle Sam, and he's pointing out of the poster saying what? I want you. Uncle Sam wants you. Amen? Well, guess what? God is saying exactly the same thing. God is looking at you. If you're one of his children, he's looking at you and pointing right straight at you and saying, I want you. Go over to John chapter 4, verse 23. Look at this. God's got his wanted poster out on you. Amen? He wants you to be a worshiper. John 4, 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Amen? God's got his wanted poster out on you. He is seeking such who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the question that you need to answer today, are you applying for the job? Are you applying for the job? Amen? If you've got a pure heart toward God, you can get in on this employment. And let me tell you something. Good wages. Good wages, praise God. Here's the second thing. Number one, I need to worship him individually. Number two, I need to worship God voluntarily. I need to worship God voluntarily. Look at those verses again, Psalm 34, 1 and 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. What does that say? I will worship him. Who has the choice? Who has the decision? I do. You know what it takes for you to be a worshiper? I mean, after you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, you got to make the decision. I'm going to be a worshiper. I am going to worship him. That is my mode of operation. I will. It's my choice. Now, let's be honest about this. There are times when you will not feel like worshiping God. Amen? See, sometimes we look at it from our limited perspective and we can't see what God is doing and we're crying out, God, why? Why aren't you doing what I think you ought to be doing? How come you haven't come when I thought you ought to come? But God says, I am working out a plan and you just stick with me. Stick with me. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Praise God. See, our perspective sometimes gets us in a place where we don't feel like worshiping God. But let me tell you something. Whether you feel like it or not, he's still worthy. Amen. He's still worthy. So you know what that means? That means whether I feel like it that day or not, I need to make the decision. I need to make the choice. I'm going to worship God anyway. I'm going to worship God no matter what's happening in my life. I'm going to worship God whether I feel like I'm under stress, strain, or pressure, or whether it's just one of those joyful days you get up in the morning, everything, you know, the birds are singing and the bees are flying around and, you know, your breakfast is wonderful and you're just ready to go have a wonderful day and you say, praise God. Then there are those days that you wake up and it's raining. And you feel like, man, I just need to get another 5 hours sleep, but it's time to go to work. And man, it's just, you know, you need to still praise God. Because he's still God. Amen? So make the choice. I'm going to worship him voluntarily. I am going to make the choice to give him the praise that is due. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If you really love the Lord, why would you hold back on giving him the glory that's due to his name, whatever day it is, and however you happen to feel? And if you won't do it, we sang the song today in our worship and praise time. Go over to Luke chapter 19, verse 40. If you refuse to be a worshiper, God's got a substitute ready. Amen? He's got a substitute ready. Remember when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and the Pharisees cried out to him and said, look, all these people are screaming and worshiping and bowing down. Tell them to shut up. Luke 19, 40, look at what Jesus told them. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. How many of you sang that song, Ain't No Rock, this morning? Amen? And applied it to yourself. Is some stone someplace going to have to praise and worship God in your place because you wouldn't do it? Is there going to have to be a rock someplace because you got up on the wrong side of the bed that morning that's going to have to cry out and praise to God because you wouldn't do it? Oh, no, no, no. God didn't appoint the stones to worship him. They do by their very being, but he appointed us to be the ones who make the choice to give him the glory that's due to his name. Amen? So we're going to sing that song. Ain't no rock going to cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to glorify his holy name. Amen? Amen? Amen. We need to make the choice to worship God voluntarily. Here's the third thing that we need to do. I need to worship God actively. It is an active thing. Go over to Psalm 63. Look at verses 3 and 4. An active thing to worship him. Can't sit on our hands. Can't just sit there and be cool. When you were in school, Did you try to be cool? Well, you can't be a worshiper if you're trying to be cool. Look at this, Psalm 63, verses 3 and 4. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Number one, that's where it starts. Amen. As we worship God, if we're a worshiper, where's the first place it's going to come out? My lips, my mouth shall praise God. And so we open our mouths to give him a joyful praise because he is worthy to receive it. Look at verse 4 of Psalm 63. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. You know it is biblical to raise your hands in praise to God. Amen. Amen. And the word says, I will lift up my hands to your name. Go over to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. We're talking about the fact that my worship needs to be active worship. I can't just sit there and kind of, you know, think good thoughts about God. If I'm truly going to be a worshiper, it has to come out of my heart into my actions. I got to let it out. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. There it is again. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Do you ever just get prostrate before the Lord? Bow down and worship him. Amen. Bow down. Put your face down to the floor before him. He is your father, praise God. He loves you with a father's love. But never forget, he is God. He is the sovereign God of the universe. And there are times when we need to just get on down, realize that he's up here and we're down there, and we are lifting up our praise to the King. Hallelujah. You see? Our praise, our worship has to be active. It has to come out in some way. Nobody can look at you and tell you how you're supposed to worship God, but you need to have it come out in some way. David danced before the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise, worship needs to be active. And when I begin to focus on the goodness of God, one of Priscilla's favorite songs is that song, you know, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul wants to shout, hallelujah. I thank God for saving me. Amen? Amen.